standing firm. Standing firm even in hard times. Because we know, if you've been a human being for long enough, you know that life isn't always straightforward, that challenges will always come in life, and that we go through seasons which we will find difficult. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared with the right kit, with the right equipment for what God is sending us out to do, even in these difficult moments. As Christians, we've experienced the love of Jesus, but we don't just stop there. We don't just stop and bask in that love. That love is always over us. But after Jesus has changed our lives, we're sent out into the world to invite others to come and meet with Jesus as well. It's an outward mission that we're sent on. So it's important to be prepared for what we face as we go to do this. As a church, we're heading to Focus this week. Who's excited for Focus? Anyone? I'm excited for Focus, if no one else is. Amazing. There is some excitement in the room. That's good to know. I don't know about all you guys, but I've got my packing list ready. Has anyone else got their packing list ready? No one else is as organized. Clearly, I'm a bit of an overthinker on that one. And that's because I've had so many bad experiences camping that I can't afford to not be prepared. I refuse to let it happen to me again. I don't know if anyone's looked at the weather forecast for Focus, but the first few days, they're not looking too promising. So the raincoat will be packed, but the sun's going to come out later. So also, being fair-skinned as I am, the factor 50 will be in my suitcase too. Any fellow gingers, me and Caitlin are more than happy to share that around. A bit of ginger solidarity goes a long way. I think we're going to bring a duvet for a bit of extra comfort at night. Anything that helps you to sleep overnight is a bonus when you're camping. Earplugs as well to block out the late night chats, or the one guy who gets the guitar out, decides to sing Wonderwall at 11 at night just to show off he can play guitar. We're also going to bring a spare car battery with us because we've got a camper van. And just in case we need to jumpstart it, we'll have that with us as well. We're prepared for all eventualities. Because camping isn't always the most comfortable thing, but you can stick with it if you know that you have all that you need. When difficult conditions come, you can stand firm if you've prepped for them and you have the right kit to get you through. Now, we're going to hear from Ephesians 6, which is a book written by a guy called Paul. He's the author of this book of the Bible. And the passage that we're looking at, it starts like this. He tells us, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Quite interesting stuff that Paul's saying here. Not necessarily stuff that we're used to hearing in church. But what he is saying essentially is that being a follower of Jesus will not always be easy. Our attempts to love others and to serve others in a way that shows them who Jesus is, they'll be contested. We'll face resistance. We might face harsh conditions. For some people in the world, this is in a physical sense, in some countries in the world, people are arrested, people are mistreated for the fact they're Christians. But for all of us, we'll face this in a spiritual sense. People who have power in this world might not want to admit that Jesus is king over them. They've come to love power so much that they're going to push back against his followers, against anyone who wants to place Jesus as Lord. This is what happened to Jesus' followers at the beginning of the church. Because when you bring the light and the love of Jesus to somewhere or to someone, anything that thrives in darkness will try to push back against you. This is the reality sometimes of following Jesus. And as I've said, we have to be prepared. But because God loves us, because God has good plans for each of us, he gives us all the kit that we need. And it's not an old, worn-out tent. It's not smelly wellies that have been sat in the shed for a year. It's what Paul calls the full armor of God. So let's see what the full armor of God is as the passage continues. Paul says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the kit we're given, the kit we need to be prepared, is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes to put on to spread the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. So as you've already got a taste of four, I like to be prepared. I've got my packing list ready. And I came prepared today with my full armor of God. I brought it to put it on. But someone somewhere has decided to scatter it all around the church, which isn't very fair. It's not very funny. So what I need, kids especially, what I need is your help for me to find it. It's around the church somewhere. I can see some bits and pieces. So I wonder, kids and grown-up kids as well, please do help out. Can you go and find the bits of my full armor of God and bring them to the front? Need a belt, need some boots, a helmet, a shield. Yeah, good, spotted some stuff, bring it forward. There's a breastplate as well. The breastplate, we might need help with that. It's quite heavy. Oh, my shield, fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you very much. You can tell where the prop budget ran out. That definitely wasn't hastily made this morning. Helmet, amazing. Breastplate, oh, my belt, amazing, amazing. Yeah, just pop it on the floor there. My boots as well. There we are, making all sorts of a ruckus. There we are, we're all good. I think that's all of my bits of armor. That's amazing. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. I sort of get onto that. Yeah, round of applause. Great searching. Lots of... Okay, we'll go with that. We'll go with that for a sword. Why not? Why not? Good bit of improvisation. Spear of truth. Amazing. So first, we have the belt of truth. Let's go through what each of these are. I'm not sure if I'm going to do this one-handed. Caitlin, could you come and put my belt on for me, please? She has to do this in the morning as well. Yeah. So, belts. Belts are important. Yeah. Why is everyone laughing? Belts are really important bit of clothing, because if your trousers don't quite fit, thank you, they hold them up for you. You know, if I come without a belt and my trousers didn't quite fit, it would be a very embarrassing morning for me, and I think I'd have to go find a new curacy. I couldn't come back after that. At my sister's wedding, actually, I forgot my belt. I was in my groomsman suit, but forgot my belt. And I still enjoyed the day, but the whole time I was just pulling up my trousers. I could not have a wardrobe malfunction when Mr. Brightside came on and I started jumping. That would not have been okay. And Paul uses a belt as his analogy for truth, because truth keeps us safe from shame. You'd be very ashamed if your trousers fell down in the street, didn't you? But truth keeps us safe from shame. It keeps us safe from that feeling that we aren't enough. It keeps us safe from when people mock us for following Jesus. Because when you know the truth of how loved you are, when you know the truth that in the eyes of God you are a treasure, shame can't get to you. People might say mean things. People might tell lies about you. Your own mind might tell lies about you. But if you have the belt of truth on, then the truth of your identity will hold you firm. Next up, we have the breastplate of righteousness. I'm not going to put this on because it's quite heavy. Need to do some time in the gym to be able to hold that on. But we have a breastplate of righteousness here. I'll put it in the middle so people can see it. A breastplate, if you're in a battle, it protects all your vital organs. It's very important. It's probably the most key bit of armor that you want. Because most importantly, it protects your heart. And Paul is saying that seeking righteousness is also something that protects our hearts. Now, righteousness, we might not know what this means. It means being right with God, being in right relationship with God. It doesn't always mean being perfect. But it means taking things to God every time we mess up, every time we miss the mark of what we're meant to be doing in our lives. We put ourselves right with him and anyone that we've hurt. And this protects our heart, because if we allow our wrongdoing to sit, a bit like an apple that you leave on the side, over time it festers and it rots and it becomes horrible. It's the same with our sin, with our wrongdoing. It grows in darkness and draws us away from Jesus. So protect your heart. Put on the breastplate of righteousness by confessing to God, confessing to others the mistakes that you've made. And be assured of his forgiveness so that we can then continue to live like Jesus. Paul also tells us we need to put on the right shoes to spread the good news of Jesus. Now, we've moved to Hove, so I've got my DMs. It only felt right. Put on my boots to spread the good news of the gospel. And I've chosen boots intentionally, not just because I want to look like a hipster, but because you want to be able to take the message of Jesus to all people and to all places. And boots, it'd be better if I had walking boots on, but here we are. They give you more grip. They allow you to cross all terrains, be it steep mountains, muddy fields. In rain or shine, you can walk in your boots. If you see someone going along with walking boots on, you often think, oh, they mean business. They're off on a hike. They're off to do some serious walking. Last week, Helen spoke to us from a part of Ephesians where Paul tells those who are sleeping to wake up and to be ready to receive the light of Jesus. And Paul is getting at a similar thing here. We can't be lazy or sleepy if we want to live fulfilling lives following Jesus. We need to be on the front foot, always being ready, as 1 Peter says, to give a reason for the hope that we have in Christ. So get your boots on. Be ready to tell all people in all places about the good news of Jesus. Following on. It was too heavy, that's why I didn't put my breastplate on. Following on, we need to take up the shield of faith. This is where the prop budget ran out. This was hastily pulled together in the office this morning. I pulled up an image of what a Roman shield looks like, and I think I've done quite a good job. We need to take up the shield of faith, which Paul tells us will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. By this, by the flaming arrows of the enemy, Paul is talking about these powers in the world that I mentioned earlier. Powers in the world that want to push us back as we go out with the good news of Jesus. All the lies and insults that are thrown our way. And to be fair, if I was on a battlefield, I'd be pretty scared anyway. But then if some flaming arrows started pinging at me, I'd be hightailing it the other way. That is not for me. I don't think I could have made it in Rome. I wouldn't have been a good centurion. But the idea of a shield, we often think it's defensive, but it's not just that. It's so you can keep pushing forward, knocking back blows and keeping on advancing. And our faith allows us to do that. It allows us to stand firm and keep pushing forward. When we're confident of what Jesus has done for us, we can knock back the blows of the enemy and keep advancing his kingdom. I'm trying to juggle everything I've got. I've got to put this down. Finally, we have the helmet of salvation. See how heavy this is. Oh gosh, that slapped me in the face. That hurt a bit. I wish I'd rehearsed with all this stuff on. These ideas, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, they point towards the fact that Jesus is making us new creations. He's remaking us into his image, to be like him, to love like him, to have peace like him. We see it in Genesis that the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, and from that point creation came. We hear it in the book of Exodus that the nation of Israel were saved from slavery, given salvation from slavery in Egypt, and made into a holy nation. I need to try and not move my head so much because this is rattling. We too have been given salvation from our wrongdoing so that we can be God's people. In the same way, when you put on the helmet of salvation, you're putting on the mind of Jesus. Paul is telling us to put on this new mind that Jesus has given us. To think as someone saved by Jesus, to love like someone, well, to love like Jesus himself. To see people how Jesus sees them, to act towards them as Jesus would. And in the same way a soldier might fight back with a sword, we're told to use the word of God as our weapon. And I intentionally didn't bring a sword because I thought this microphone was a better analogy. Because the word of God, it's not about attacking people, it's about proclaiming. It's about amplifying the good news of Jesus. Yes, the Bible tells us that the word of God is sharp, but it's not sharp in a violent way. It's sharp in a way that cuts into people's hearts and makes them realize where they are, makes them realize that they could be living in a much greater way following Jesus. We're not called to use human means, but to overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. To overcome by the same Spirit of the same God that created everything from nothing in the beginning. So be prepared. That's the thing to take away. Be prepared. Stand firm, says Paul. In the face of the world, put on the full armor of God. And the real full armor of God doesn't look as silly as this. So stand firm, put on the full armor of God. Let's pray together, shall we? Why don't we stand? Pray together as a church family. I wonder if we might just all take a deep breath and maybe close our eyes if we're comfortable doing that. We're going to pray corporately, pray as a church as we are. There'll be some time to pray for one another later. But I wonder, as our eyes are closed, if we might want to just engage our imaginations a bit. Kids, join in with this too. Shut your eyes and engage your imaginations. Imagine that you're stood there and you're putting on your belt of truth. And that as you do that in this space, just lay down before Jesus all the lies that you're perhaps holding, all the things that you're feeling ashamed about maybe. Put on the belt of truth and let that come off of you. Next, just picture buckling on the breastplate of righteousness. Maybe it feels heavy when you first put it on. Maybe you're not sure if you can fully hold the weight. But Jesus' burden is not heavy, it is light. He's come to unburden us, in fact. So feel that lightness as you put on the breastplate of righteousness and you choose to follow Jesus closely again. Maybe we want to wiggle our toes in our shoes as we feel that we've got the shoes on that allow us to spread the gospel. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the words and give us the mind to go out and spread the gospel to all people. Imagine the weight of the shield of faith on our arm, but the confidence it gives us as well, that we can hold it up and push back everything that's coming against us. You might want to picture a situation in your mind where you feel like everything's going against you, and know that the shield of faith can knock that back and keep you moving forward in faith. And finally, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Imagine yourself putting on a helmet, putting on the mind of Christ. Maybe there's people you've been finding difficult. In this moment, try and see them with fresh eyes. And the sword of the Spirit. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be upon us all. That we wouldn't push back by the means that the world has given us, but we push back by the means that you have. We push back by the power of your Spirit, that we would continue advancing your word, that you would continue making us new. In your name we pray this. Amen.